Well, hello and welcome. It is good to be with you today, and I hope that you are having a great day. It is an absolutely beautiful day here. The sky is just crystal clear blue. It's a nice, perfect temperature. It is a great, beautiful day. And again, I hope your day is going well. Hope that you're experiencing the Lord and are walking with Him, that you're looking forward to hearing from Him. I always look forward to these times. Just the opportunity to meet with the Lord in prayer, the opportunity to hear from Him and His Word, and I do hope these times are a blessing. I want to thank Jonathan and Nikki again for all that they do to help make these times possible. And speaking of Jonathan, we certainly want to be in prayer for Jonathan and Saskia as they get married this coming weekend. We're so thankful for the work that God has done in their lives, bringing them together, and certainly want to remember them as they begin their life together in prayer and want to congratulate them for that. But again, we're here today to meet with our Lord, and so let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You so much, O Lord, for the day that You have given unto us. Lord God, for the opportunity to meet with You. Father, this time, this place, Father, for Your Word, Father, for Your presence. Lord, we ask, O God, that You would speak, that You would open our eyes, Lord, not only to understand Your Word, but, Father, to see You, Lord, through the eyes of our heart through Your Word. Be with us, we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, do you ever think about the Christian life and wonder, quite frankly, is it worth it? I mean, let's be honest. You're always, if you're sincerely seeking to follow our Lord, it seems as if you're always swimming upstream. Being a Christian, if we're sincerely trying to follow the Lord, it will make us different. Oftentimes, we will be left out, if you will. Sometimes it brings us under hostility and hatred. And so, time to time, probably all of us wonder, you know, is it really worth it? Well, the answer undeniably is the fact it truly is worth it. You think about what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 112 and in verse 1, where it says, "Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments." You think about what it says there. How blessed. And the reality is, if we know the Lord by His grace and been brought to salvation, we're walking with Him, in spite of whatever it is that we may face or encounter as a result of that, we truly are blessed. And as we look at this psalm, we see the wonderful blessings that we experience when we follow our Lord in spite of whatever it is that we have to face because of our faithfulness unto Him. We see as we look at through this psalm that God uses us. You know, probably the worst experience we could have in our lives would be to live our lives, get to the end of them if we knew what day or time that would be, and look back and realize that we'd really made no difference. We'd had no impact. If we want to be used by God to make a difference, or at least to be in a position of influence, if we want to be in a position where we can have a positive impact, we need to walk in obedience. You think about what we see in verse 2. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Now, obviously, this is not a blank check, per se. Individuals are responsible for themselves and for the decisions they make. But if we're going to have the greatest possible positive influence on them, if we're going to put ourselves to be in a position to have the greatest impact, we're going to have to walk in obedience. It's not merely enough, you know, to use the right words occasionally, or even take them to the right settings, such as church, as important as that is, but they're going to have to see us walking and living in obedience. And so if we are going to have a positive influence on those around us, those coming behind us, our friends, our family, we're going to have to walk in obedience. And so we see that it's in obedience that God uses us, that puts us in the position of the greatest influence. But notice as well, number two, God enriches us. You think about verse 3. Wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Now, for the nation of Israel, God's blessings were seen in the physical realm. But for us, God truly provides, and we'll talk about that later, and sometimes wonderfully materially blesses. You know, we're approaching Thanksgiving time here within a few weeks. And it's, you know, all of us can just look around and see how God has blessed us. But for we who are believers, there are the wonderful riches of those things that are truly riches. Those things that have true, lasting value. You think about what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 4 and in verse 7. This is, in fact, what David wrote. He says, "You put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and their new wine abound." Do you remember what our Lord told the woman at the well? That he who drinks of this water that I give will within himself find, you know, a well of water springing up. In other words, that wonderful spiritual life from within. You think about what Jesus said in John 10:10b, "I come that they might have life and might have it abundantly." You know, in spite of whatever it is we may miss out on paper because of our devotion to Christ, or whatever it is we may lose because of our faithfulness and obedience unto Him, we find true riches, true value, those things that truly last and give life its real meaning and its significance. And so we truly do see the fact that God does, in fact, enrich us. But then notice as well, we see that God guides us. You know, this world is a very confusing place, becomes more confusing every day. As this world tries to take everything that's true, and first of all, it denies there is such a thing as truth, and then tries to turn every truth around, and then tries to live accordingly, and then when it reaches, you know, experiences the obvious impacts of that, tries to come up with more falsehoods. You know, we live in a time where it's almost as if you take the book of Proverbs, turn it around backwards, and that's what is proclaimed now as truth. This is a very confusing time. And yet, in God's Word and in obedience unto Him, we find sure and certain guidance. Look what we see in verse 4. "Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous." You think about that. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. You know, I couldn't help but think about Psalm 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is in obedience. As we walk in obedience, God will in fact guide us. He might not show us everything, you know, the distance, but He'll definitely show us where to put the next step and what to do next and what we ought to be doing now. And in the middle of a very confusing world, a very confusing time, God will show us step by step how to walk and where to walk. That is not necessarily a praise chorus, a newer Christian song, newer as in the last 25 years. Step by step. That's exactly how God will lead us. Step by step, He will in fact guide us. And so we wonder, you know, why walk in obedience? Because unlike the masses that we see around us being driven over the edge of a cliff in every single area of life, God will guide us in security, in sureness, and in confidence. It is in obedience and faithfulness unto our Lord that we have guidance. But notice as well, He provides for us. Going back to the material things, yes, God sometimes blesses us materially, but He always blesses us with the internal riches, those things that really matter. But we do have a wonderful promise from Him that He will in fact provide for us. You think about what we see in verse 5. "It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment." God wonderfully provides for us. What was it that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33? "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And you think about what He's talking about. He was talking there in the context of food. You think He was talking in the context of clothes. And He was talking that to a group of people who were very poor. The food was significant because they didn't know where the next meal was coming from or if there was going to be one. Clothes were important because they only had what they were wearing most of the time. Most of them were very poor people. And yet, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." The Father will provide. Provides for the birds of the air. He'll clothe us better than the lilies of the field. We, in fact, have His wonderful provision. Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We can trust His wonderful provision. You think about just the constant scrambling that our world does just to make sure it can get by. And yet we have a peace and a confidence in what our Father provides. But notice as well, number 5, God secures us. This is a very frightening, very unsettled world. And we are in a hostile world environment. And Satan is a very real adversary. And all of us face that every day. You know, we see it. We're surrounded with it. We sense it at times. And yet you think about what we read in verses 6 through 8. For he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He talks about the security, the confidence that we have, the assurance of victory. I love the way it's written in Isaiah 41:10, where our Lord said, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand in the midst of this very dangerous, and let's be honest, very dangerous world, spiritually, emotionally, physically. We have a God who will in fact secure us and guide us to His security. What a blessing. What a reason to follow Him in spite of the adversity that we face, in spite of the animosity we face, in spite of the attacks. What a reason to follow Him. We see as well that God places us, number 6, but look at verse 9. He is freely given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. Understand the word horn there. It means a position of power and strength. It means, you know, the position that has that power. And isn't it amazing? No doubt you've seen this, the means and deception and fraud that the world uses to get positions that it wants and to get ahead. And yet you think about what the Scripture promises us. You think about what we read in Psalm 75, verses 6 through 7. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation. But God is the judge. He puts down one, and He exalts another. That's not to say we always get the promotion we want, but what it tells us is God will place us exactly where He wants us to be. And where He wants us to be is the best possible place for us to be. And rather than having to operate like the world to get there, if we walk in faithfulness and obedience unto the Lord, He will place us there. And you see that over and over in Scripture. David, of course, being an example from shepherd to king. Joseph, through prison to become prime minister. Moses from the backside of the desert to be the deliverer of the people. God places His people. If we obey, God will place us exactly where He wants us to be. What a tremendous blessing. All as a result of walking in obedience. Again, as we read in verse 1, praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. Again, you think about verse 10. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked will perish. What a tremendous contrast. And what a blessing is ours if we walk in faithfulness. So yes, these are very dark, dangerous days. Our faith is coming increasingly under an attack. But you look at the reasons to walk in obedience. God will bless us. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, again, we thank You for this day. And, O Lord, in these times in which we live, Lord, by Your strength, power, and grace, enable us, O Lord, to be faithful unto You. And, O God, may we just experience the richness, O God, of Your promises and of Your presence as we do so. Lead us, guide us, strengthen us, empower us, we pray. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, again, I hope that you have a wonderful day. I hope that you already are and will continue to experience God's presence and nearness and strength. And I hope by the nearness of His presence that you have a great day in Him.